I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm here every Tuesday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Playing some punk and hardcore for you. If you want to hear something, feel free to give me a call at 604-822-2487 or swing by flexyourhead.net and send us an email with a request.
Tired of the gender binary, gender policing, or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender nonconforming, non-binary, and gender fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer at citr.ca.
Our show, Babe Waves, airs Thursdays from 5 to 6 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Three women, dressed in lingerie, were hanging from the ceiling on meat hooks. In an adjacent room, a man was in bed with two deceased females, also wearing lingerie. He positioned their arms in a sexy embrace. Down the hall, a man holding a chainsaw stood over the motionless body of a sixth woman, lying on a table covered in plastic. These are scenes from a popular music video by a Grammy Award-winning artist. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like entertainment? Join the conversation at hashtag not okay.
My allergies are consuming me this season. The only time they don't seem to be bothering me is when I'm reading Discord or magazine. Check out the June edition. Features an interview with only a visitor, and also the Shilohs. You can find out how you can impact the music festival lineup diversity. What it's like living at the intersection of the queer and indigenous communities, and about how the tenants union is combating the rental crisis in Vancouver. Thanks to our advertisers, Timber Concerts, Mid Records, The Rio, Rastafest, The Rickshaw, and Live Van. My allergies are consuming me this season. The only time they don't seem to be bothering me is when I'm reading Discord or magazine. Check out the June edition. Features an interview with only a visitor, and also the Shilohs. You can find out how you can impact the music festival lineup diversity. What it's like living at the intersection of the queer and indigenous communities, and about how the tenants union is combating the rental crisis in Vancouver. Thanks to our advertisers, Timber Concerts, Mid Records, The Rio, Rastafest, The Rickshaw, and Live Van.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a blend of chit-chat, or should we call it debate, whatever you want to call it, and of course kick-ass music, so definitely stay tuned for that too. But joining me in the studio now is my co-host for the day, is Connor Neckleput. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing fabulous. It's been a very busy week for me. I don't need to share why it's been busy, but
no,
I'm feeling good for it, yeah. Feeling fulfilled.
Lovely, lovely. All right, we'll sit back and relax, and let's enjoy some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Instagram, the preferred social media platform of narcissists worldwide. First up tonight, we travel forward in time.
Welcome
Welcome to Dab House, a retirement home for millennials. The year is 2077. The time is 4 p.m., or in other words, dinner time. Ethan and Casey are sitting down to eat. Ethan is having pizza pops, a Red Bull, and blood thinners. Casey is eating a kale smoothie and her one permitted alcoholic beverage of the week. Her favorite, a Jager Bomb. Let's listen in.
Oh, God, I hate it here.
I know. My roommate is cray-cray. She just sits there staring at her phone and vaping so much, she permanently smells like a burnt Jolly Rancher. And her phone hasn't been charged for a week. Not that she has any idea due to the cataracts.
No, well, mine's worse. He keeps having flashbacks to the war and screaming in his sleep. I mean, I get it. We were all in World War III. Get over it. So what? You saw some people get vaporized. Big deal. I was the one who did all the vaporizing.
Don't worry. Put him on the list. We can sort him and her out at the next purge.
Oh, yes. Good idea. That's the best bit of legislation President Trump ever passed.
Yeah, so glad that repeal attempt failed by President Lil Wayne.
Steven and Alan are in the games room enjoying a quick game of FIFA 76. Let's join them.
Woohoo! Yeah! Winner! Stick that up your colostomy bag, you D-bag!
Yeah, whatever. Sports games are for meatheads. Let's play some Call of Duty World War III.
Oh, nah, dude. Too many noobs. And I gotta meet my bae for hot yoga in a mo. Let's just have a quick game of Madden Jr.
No, screw sports games. Let's just take it in turns to play GTA 20.
Ooh, a retro game!
Yes, but they've added flying cars.
About time!
Peter is on his deathbed, a victim of the fact that antibiotics no longer work, except on rich people. This is due to the overprescription of antibiotics to rich people.
Beyonce! Beyonce!
Yes, Dad?
Darling, live your life better than I did.
What do you mean?
I should have got more likes.
Dad? Dad? No! No! How do I get more likes? Harriet is getting her monthly visit from her son and her daughter-in-law via Skype. Hello?
Mom!
What? Oh, hi, Daryl.
Mom, can you see us?
That's nice, dear.
Mom, can you stop texting?
Oh, sorry, dear. I'm just updating my Crumble profile. A lot of fresh eggplants on there, if you know what I mean.
Is that an emoji reference? Wow, that's so archaic. You really need to get an emo psyche installed. Life is so much better now that I can feel my beautiful wife's feelings right in my head.
And I can feel how dead inside Daryl feels.
Well, I can't take all the credit for that. Unlimited access to internet porn played its part. We didn't know better in those days. Filters hadn't been invented yet.
They had.
Well, but nobody used protection. It was like the 60s, except indoors.
Well, we have some news.
So have I. We all have apps, darling.
No, personal news.
Oh, well, then put it on Facebook.
Mom, Facebook hasn't existed for 20 years.
Well, then where have I been posting my photos of my dinner and my racist comments?
Oh, Jesus, how many times do I have to explain this? The Zuckerberg world government takes all our data and sells it, and that pays for all our daily rations of water and sunlight.
So no one else sees it?
No, once they took over, they dropped that charade.
Oh, well, what's the news?
We're having a baby.
Really? Why?
The normal reason, because we've run out of other things to do.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I need a microbrew.
Don't say that. You shouldn't be drinking.
Oh, whatever. I'm enjoying life while I still can. Plus, that new pub next door is on fleek.
I will never go into a retirement home because I certainly won't live that long. Next up tonight, our favorite diarist returns, Terrence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, I had the most wonderful day. It began in the usual way, me waking up, sweating and vomiting. I really need to stop eating Taco Bell. Then I went to browse the internet at the library. It's very tricky to concentrate with all those people staring at me masturbating, but I managed. Then I checked my email. I had one from a 14-year-old girl suggesting she would like to show me her lady parts. I needed to talk to her before any weirdos did, so I arranged to meet her. I arrived to find several strange gentlemen sitting in the food court waiting for me. Apparently, they do this sort of thing for fun. They pretend to be young girls to catch other men who are mentally ill. This sounds like a riot, so I asked to join right away. We ventured over to the other mall in town to catch our first prey. I mean predator. On the way, one of the guys shared with me this great porn that he had on his phone of a girl who had just turned 18, so it was all above board. It was made even better by the fact she was pretending the other actor in the film was her stepfather, though I could tell he wasn't, as he kept trying to have penetrative sex with her. That's more of an uncle thing. We arrived at the meeting point, a hot topic, and I was assigned with the duty of wearing a miniskirt and licking a lollipop. It was quite cold, so I hugged a small boy for warmth. The perpetrator arrived and began waving at me. He was quite dashing in his blue cardigan, so I went over to embrace him hello, when 10 of the neck-bearded gentlemen I arrived with swarmed him and started taking photos. The man scarpered as quickly as his wheelchair would take him, and I jogged after him, trying to get to know him through a small talk. He was a bit distracted by all the attention and forgot his favourite colour. Eventually, we lost the other guys as they had to stop to use their inhalers. We had a nice chat about politics and finger spinners before he had to go. But it's okay. We're meeting next week for coffee. Fingers crossed he likes me for more than just my resemblance to a 14-year-old girl.
I joined the Creep Catchers, but I had to leave when other members kept confusing me with the perpetrators. Next up tonight is the news report!
Good evening and welcome to the News at 10, the best source of news for 10-year-olds. I'm We Need to Talk About Kevin.
And I'm Rosemary's Baby. Tonight, a 45-year-old male is in custody due to circumcising his son without the mother's consent.
The son, age 18, wasn't happy about it either.
Allegedly, the father had been unaware of his son's normality until recently due to being a deadbeat dad, but upon discussing the issue with his son over nachos at their local Hooters restaurant, realized the imbalance in the relationship.
Citing the bogus claim of cleanliness decried by turtleneck choppers worldwide, he used Quaaludes, also known as a Cosby special, to drug his son and then perform the operation himself.
The operation does improve cleanliness, just like how cutting your lips off improves oral hygiene.
And the operation was further complicated by the fact the father was not a trained surgeon, but rather an accountant.
The resulting wound became infected, which arguably did result in one of the desired effects of making it look bigger.
However, the son was distraught upon regaining consciousness at his table at Hooters and seeing his father's bloodied steak knife.
Prosecutors are seeking a prison sentence for the father, even though Bill Cosby will probably get away with it.
I was never a fan of Bill Cosby. He clearly stole all his jokes from Carlos Mencia 20 years before he was born. Next up tonight, people are talking!
What is that accent?
Pardon?
You sound like one of the Duck Dynasty.
Excuse me?
And I don't mean the smart one.
There's a smart one?
Oh, God, I can feel my IQ drop just listening to you.
I am a nuclear physicist at Caltech, you shit stain.
No way. Come on, what do you take me for?
I'm currently working on solving cold fusion.
The only cold thing you're solving is how to keep warm in a deer blind.
I worked at CERN for 20 years, you son of a bitch!
What, as the T-boy?
I was the head of theoretical research, you dumbass!
Yeah, sure, mate. So, do you want fries with that?
I always order fries with that, as it's important to eat your vegetables. Next up tonight is an interview!
Good evening and welcome back to Folky Folks. I'm Hannah Stout, and tonight I'm joined by political activist and folk legend Neil Old.
Good evening, Hannah.
So, Neil, tell us about your latest single that you're playing for us tonight.
Well, darling, it's quite simple. I am sick of all the pain and the suffering in the world, and we all know the only ones who can help are musicians.
Right.
It's true. People need melodic guidance. Have you ever noticed how, thanks to TLC, you see less scrubs these days?
I guess. So what's the focus of this song?
Let's not spoil the surprise.
Okay, well, here's Neil Old.
Why is it so that when you turn on HBO, you have to see dragons' hips before you see a woman's nips? On CSI we see exploding eyes, but never the inside of a woman's thighs. On NBC we see genocide, but never a man's third eye. What I'm trying to say is we deserve roles in the hay. Forget about the violence with this. I want breasts and clitorises. I want asses and dicks. Leave out the punches and the kicks, because what's more damaging to kids? Love or hatred? Remove the savagery, insert the camaraderie, broke the ratio, increase the fellatio, drop the ugliness. Give us cunnilingus. We don't need more blood. Show us how to be a stud. What I'm trying to say is we deserve roles in the hay. Forget about the violence with fists. I want breasts and clitorises. I want asses and dicks. Leave out the punches and the kicks, because what's more damaging to kids? Love or hatred? No need for disembowelment. Show us his endowment. Negate the beheadings. Switch them with humpins. Free us from suffering. Educate us on loving. Liberate us from pain. Show us the cum stain.
Wow, that was hauntingly beautiful.
Thanks. I wrote that after my last girlfriend left me and I forgot to pay my internet bill.
Naturally. So, you really want to push for more pornographic TV?
I just think television should be more truthful about the world around us. A lot more people fuck each other every day than shoot each other, even in the Bible Belt.
But many would argue television is already sexual enough.
But it's all that implied sex. That's what gets everyone so revved up without any actual release. If we had actual sex, then it would become normalized. It's like how more people do drugs when there is a taboo. If you saw your mum doing heroin, it just wouldn't seem cool anymore. My point is, we tried and failed to hide our true natures from ourselves, and we've replaced it with this lauding of violence as the answer to everything, when in fact it's usually the answer to nothing. Everyone thinks that in a fight they'll look like Bruce Lee, when in fact it's more likely that they'll just look like Bruce Jenner.
Actually, it's Caitlyn Jenner now?
Yeah, but then the joke doesn't work. Think about this, like, guys say, if a guy touches my girl's ass, I'm gonna kick his head in. But then what? It's not like you punch him once, he stands up and says, oh, fair enough, mate, see you later. But television pretends that's how it works.
But isn't sex also portrayed inaccurately on television?
Undeniably. I mean, why does nobody ever stop for a piss during sex on TV? Or stop to open a window because they're boiling hot? And when was the last time you saw a bit of good old-fashioned queefing on television?
Never.
Exactly. Let's cut out all the bullshit. Unless, of course, you're into that sort of thing.
I don't want to see realistic sex on television. I want to see realistic sex in real life. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore, Beatings, Brine and Beasties.
Richard, have you got your mouth guard?
I don't want to play rugby.
Well, you have to. You were shit at football, and the doctor said you got to get some exercise if you're ever going to live to 30. So get in the car.
But rugby's scary.
Yeah, but you're too fat for gymnastics, and you can't join swimming as you don't float. It's genetic. We're very dense people.
Can't I do cricket?
No, the point is to play an actual sport, not just get a sunburn.
Fine, but can we then go to Grandma's for dinner?
Okay, but we'll have to rush eating. I want to be out of there before she gets back from bingo. Excuse me, are you the coach?
Yes, madam. How can I help?
My son here wants to join your team.
No, no.
Oh, be quiet.
No problem. We need a hooker.
Fuck off.
Oh, it's a position in the scrum, son.
Oh.
It's where I used to play.
No surprise there.
Or he could play prop.
I'm good at leaning.
Can you throw a ball?
I don't think I've ever tried.
No problem. Just hold it like this and gently spin it as you throw it. Have a go.
Nah.
I meant pass it to me.
That's what I was trying to do.
Oh, dear. Prop it is, then. Just remember, if you see a rook form, drive over and secure the possession.
What? A rook? We're playing chess now?
No, a rook is when a player is tackled and they go down to the ground. Then the other players push to maintain possession of the ball.
Oh, so I get to shove people?
Basically.
Yeah, that sounds like my sort of game.
And if they're lying on the ball, you can move them with your foot.
Brilliant!
Get ready for the kickoff, Richard. Chase down the kick.
All right, mate, let me finish me fag.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, oh, I'm gonna puke.
Tackle him. Wrap the legs.
Ah!
Wow, well done. That lad has some aggression in him.
Ha, no shit.
Ooh, the ruck's forming. Cover your head, lad.
Ow, stop standing on me, dickheads.
Roll away, lad.
I'm trying.
Ah!
No biting, Richard. This isn't woman's rugby.
Penalty back 10 yards.
Oh, I have to run again?
Yes.
Oh, sod this.
Deep breaths, lad. Tackle him, Richard.
Yeah.
That's it. Grab the ball. Run with it. Yes. Stiff arm him.
Gah, my face.
No, don't punch him.
Penalty.
Oh, piss off.
Sin bin, now.
Ooh, what kind of sin?
Okay, good half, lads. Let's keep it up. We were wearing them down. Keep using the sandpaper in the scrum. Off you go. Oh, and Richard, use your head. Play smart.
All right, got it.
Tackle him, Richard!
Ah, no! Oh,
Jesus, I didn't mean use your head literally.
Oh, I'll get the smelling salts.
I always enjoyed playing rugby. It was the one place I felt at home with the other masochists. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Caitlin Docking, Nick Rinker, Kenneth Tynan, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by no one.
All right, there we go. That was the White Noise show for another week. Hope you enjoyed our half hour sketch comedy. And remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week. Facebook is White Noise UBC and our Twitter handle is White Noise YVR. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts on the show, send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. All right, that is the end of that nonsense. We are, of course, going to continue with the White Noise After Show, hosted by myself and joined by co-host Connor Mneckleput. How you doing? You still there, Connor?
I'm still here. I didn't take part in this week's episode. I was actually very busy. I had some work commitments I couldn't avoid, meeting some real interesting people. But it was a good episode. I was very happy with the progress you guys made in my absence.
Yeah, it was almost better without you.
I mean, I say progress. It's not really forward progress. It's just maintaining momentum.
Well, I think we coped all right. I think we did. All right, so let's get on with it. Let's play our first track of the night. So our first track tonight, if our CD player will cooperate, is going to be Fake Shark, and this is Cheap.
Everybody get up now.
Do 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 do
we go. That was the Fast Romantics with Everybody Is Trying to Steal Your Heart. Before that was the Apets with Safety Strands. And we tried to play Fake Shark Cheat by Fake Shark. Obviously, that totally, the CD player decided didn't want to cooperate. So what we're going to do is we're going to play that next after we've done our first debate of the night. Because it's a kick-ass track, so it deserves to get played in full.
Yeah, absolutely does.
All right, so our first topic of the night, though, is we're going to be talking, obviously, it's Canada Day this week. Saturday, is it July 1st? And so we thought we should, you know, do something related. So the first question tonight is what is the Canadian identity? And has it changed, really, in the last sort of few decades? First thoughts, Connor.
I think first thoughts are caveats. We should try and avoid utilizing phrases such as maple syrup, beavers, and Mounties as much as we can to make this a serious discussion. It's interesting, the Canadian identity. I'm not Canadian myself. I've been here for now approaching 4 years, so I'm kind of a bit of an outside looking in. And I'm not sure what the Canadian identity is, really. I know it's sort of a little bit, it's quite liberal, you know, everyone wants to be sort of progressive. At least into the big cities, and
yeah, but like every country, we have those who don't agree, and we did have a conservative government for
yeah.
the last.
I think Canadian, again, being in Vancouver, very liberal part of Canada, I get the impression Canadians across Canada like to are fond of the Canadian image abroad of being sort of like a middle power, being very liberal and progressive. And I think those are Canadian values, not explicitly for everyone, but I think broadly speaking, at least compared to America. But I kind of think the Canadian identity really is just compared to America. It's really hard, I think, to actually escape. From conversations I've had with Canadians, I find it hard to escape simply trying to be what America is not.
And we are, unfortunately, due to our geographical and our sort of intertwined media, we are really the most affected probably by American hegemony in the world.
Absolutely.
But I think before we get more into that point, I think you have to think also when talking about the Canadian identity, I think it's more regional really than people like to possibly admit, or just haven't really, maybe they don't think about that, but I think it is very regional. As you talked about, like the BC, but even then we talk about BC, and really what we're talking about is Vancouver and the Lower Mainland, and that's very different to perhaps Kelowna and some of the smaller areas, what they hold as important. I mean, there's certainly some common threads that are there, but there also are some other major sort of differences culturally, and in many different ways. I mean, you go into like Kelowna and you've got a very religious area.
Without a doubt, but I feel like, I mean, Canada is such a big country naturally, right? Mm. Regionalism is, of course, going to happen. Whether you're in Quebec or British Columbia, you're going to think a little differently about
or
Canada.
Or Alberta.
But the idea of discovering a Canadian identity is simply to find those strands that kind of weave through the entire country, right? So I totally agree that regionalism is a big factor, but in a sense, regionalism is its own argument, isn't it? So what is the Canadian identity? Are you saying that it doesn't exist because there is regionalism? Or we're not trying to find those little strands that weave their way through all those different regions?
Well,
and it's difficult.
As we've discussed before, the idea of culture has very limited value when trying to like dissect culture and what it is, because it doesn't mean anything to the individual. The individual can be and think and behave as whatever they want. And it's an insult to the individual to assume it becomes prejudicism after a while, because you're prejudging what their opinions and behaviors and their likes are, which is insulting.
Which it is, but although on the other side of the coin, the idea of nationalism and patriotism and, you know, national identity, as much as they can be very destructive concepts. I mean, the idea is, in a way, I mean, to unite a group of people, and if you want to be proud of being Canadian, you kind of have to believe and try to put faith in the narrative you're being sold. And so as an individual, you're right, you are more than simply the Canadian narrative. But if you want to be Canadian and you want to stand up for Canada and represent Canada, you kind of have to subvert yourself a little bit to that narrative.
But maybe the question then is, why would you want to?
For the sake of community?
But
for the sake of order in the world?
But your community isn't that large. Your community really is a lot smaller than that. And that's why I think it comes back to regionalism, in that your community really is the people that you interact with and are affected by on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And they are, that's a local thing.
It is, but there's also a trust thing, you know. Like, if you go from Toronto to Vancouver, or, you know, Montreal to Quebec, or anywhere in Canada, anywhere else in Canada, you should theoretically be able to interact with any other Canadian based on this trust that you believe in the same ideas. Of course, that's a theoretical concept, but in the sense that if you were to go from, say, Toronto to Mozambique, you probably wouldn't know what to expect, right? I mean, you know everyone's human, you know everyone thinks in sort of similar ways, but you wouldn't know how to interact necessarily, you wouldn't know what to do and what not to do. When you have a national identity and ideals and a certain character, that community, which is much grander and less intimate than the one that you've described as being quite small, there is still that level of being able to trust in someone.
But it becomes tribalism in that, like, we pretend that they're so different, people in different areas of the world and different countries. But as someone as well-traveled as you are, you know that that isn't the case, and that you go somewhere and you realize people are very similar all over the world. They have the same desires, the same, you know, basic beliefs of morality and of, you know, caring about each other and treating each other with respect. And maybe those ideas of respect differ slightly, but they do within this country. I mean, a great example of that is I was getting the bus to Kelowna, and we go into the terminal, and people aren't holding the door for other people to come in. And some guy in front of me goes, "Oh, why doesn't anybody hold the door? That's just good manners." And I'm like, "But is there anything less universal than manners? Manners is a subjective interpretation of behavior based on your own upbringing and what you've, you know, decided post childhood to believe are true, you know, good behaviors. And you can't assume any of those characteristics of other people, because you just end up making yourself angry when people don't live up to them. All you can really do is set those standards for yourself, live up to them, set an example, and hope that if it's the right thing to do, people will follow suit. And because, you know, that's sort of what do they call that, social something or other, forget now, all my psychology classes going out the window here. But yeah, you sort of, you know, if you behave in a certain way and enough people do it, people correct their behavior to not be on the outside of that. And that's, you know, that's how you bring about change. That's how we've ended up with change in the last, you know, 30, 40 years towards issues that we all hold dear, like, you know, getting rid of homophobic behavior. It's only once the majority of people stop being homophobic that those then who are, you know, on the sort of outside of it start to realize that if they want to exist within the society, they need to change their behavior. So going back to what my original point was, is that... yeah, I mean, I find the whole idea of national identity a little, it just becomes kind of nonsense, because we like to just cherry pick these ideas, as you said originally, the maple leaf, the beaver, hockey, things like that. But I met hundreds of thousands of Canadians who couldn't give a shit about hockey. I lived here 14 years nearly, or 13, 14 years, and I yeah, it's not for me either. But that's okay, that doesn't make you less Canadian. It just means that you have your own subjective taste, as everybody does. And maybe that's what being Canadian is, to just accept people for their subjectivity and accept that they, you know, without judging them on it. Maybe that's what the Canadian identity is.
So
we're
supposed to accept Americans.
They can't help who they are, where they're from.
Well, but if we have a minute here, I know we're probably going to lead into the next song very shortly. But so I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. You're right. In the ideal world, everyone travels, everyone gets to know other people from different tribes and nations and backgrounds, cultural, social, economic, and get a sense of, yeah, everyone is kind of the same, chasing those similar aspirations, fearing those similar insecurities. But in the end, and it is changing, but even now, there's still not enough people who have been outside their backyard. This is in Canada, this is America, people in England, every country has these kind of people who don't know what it is like to be from a different background in a different country. And the national identity, I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing, but it helps to bring together disparate people and try to unite them in a sense that is good for efficiency, good in terms of you thinking like logistics, thinking of interactions between like all these millions of people in your country. From like a top-down standpoint, it makes things very easy because people believe in this. But also, people will always believe in stories and narratives. That is what being human is, to decide what kind of morals you live by, to decide what kind of person you want to be. And these national narratives are very compelling because they make you feel special, right? They make you feel like one of a chosen number. Absolutely, it is that. And as much as that isn't, you know, isn't necessarily conducive to global peace and to embracing humanity wherever you go, it at least helps you put faith. And yeah, it will be decimated sometimes by people who are just bad people or in rough situations and don't live up to your expectations, but allows you to try to put faith in people who are also part of this in-group. And it allows you to live your life with more order. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I think it's something that's kind of inescapable. And so trying to find this identity, in a sense, the responsibility of those who are Canadian, their national identity should be what they want to be. Not what they have been historically, not what you know they're harangued by, but the kind of identity that they want to be. And that's perhaps a world leader in progressivism, that's a world leader in peace, in exploration, in community building. Those are cool concepts and narratives you can build into a national identity to make it more than just a we deserve our place here in this rock and anyone who's not from here get out because you're not cool.
I see what you're saying, and I think yeah, if nationalism was used for good, let's just put it simple as that, if it was used for good rather than trying to convince people that we need to go to war and that we need that we're better than other people, like if that was what it was used for, I would agree. But give me one bloody example when that has actually been done and it's not just used to feel smug and to basically harangue people into buying into like the war machine and just causing chaos.
No, it's tough. I don't think I can provide you an example off the top of my head, it's tough to make, because it's a defensive mechanism above all else.
Fair enough. All right, I'll let you have the last word today on that one. We'll be back with another topic very soon, but I think we're going to try and play Cheat by Fake Shark again, so let's hope this works this time.
Everybody get up now!
there we go. That is Still Life on Fire with Closer. And, of course, before that was Fake Shark with Cheap. All right, so you're still listening to the White Noise After Show. I'm Simon, and I'm in with co-host Connor. And we've got one more topic of debate tonight. So, Connor, what will it be?
So one of the big topics that's pervading sort of media and general chit-chat these days, particularly in Vancouver, but in other places around the world and Canada, is the idea that millennials, our generation, are being priced out of the property market at a point where, you know, typically speaking, historically, people our age in their, you know, mid and late 20s, perhaps early 30s, would perhaps be looking to settle down and buy some property, some homes, maybe apartment buildings, whatever, condos. At the moment, because of the vast affluence of wealth and prosperity in cities like Vancouver, Toronto, lots of cities as well in London, Paris, New York,
Sydney,
Australia, absolutely. We're seeing a trend that millennials are now not being able to afford to buy homes and are now being forced to become renters for longer periods of their life and very possibly invest more money than they could have in the long term into renting than owning a home. So, Simon, what is this threat real? What do you think of this? What about this property issue that we have at hand?
Well, you know, what is the root of the concern? The root of the concern, of course, is that usually people want to have paid off their house before they retire so that their sort of the cost of living in old age isn't as high as it could be, you know, when you're working. And that's really what the crux of the concern is. But I don't think that it is necessarily, I don't think it is the end of ownership of property at a certain age. I think we will buy houses later than typically they did 20, 30 years ago, and probably smaller houses than they did 20, 30 years ago. But that's already a trend that has sort of happened in Europe, in that, you know, the value of property in many places has been extortionately high in the Netherlands and Britain and Italy and places like that. People have lived in apartments and smaller homes for a long time, and it's something I think we'll start to see in the what we'll call the colonies, those countries.
Well, you'll call the colonies, okay.
You know what I mean. We'll start to see that where people are buying smaller homes perhaps than their parents did.
And interestingly,
and later on as well, I think, you know, yes, you'll be 30, 35, but I have friends now who are starting to buy property who are in their early 30s. Some of them have had to move to smaller communities to do that. Like, I had friends who moved to Fredericton in New Brunswick to buy a place. Unfortunately, they had work that they could work from home and therefore support their family because they've got a son. But they got a lovely house out there, like, you know, 4 or 5 bedrooms, big garden, you know, nice place. It just isn't downtown Toronto. And, you know, that's not the end of the world necessarily if you have the income
means,
to do so.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well, because I think if you can work remotely, you can kind of make things work. It makes things easier. Yeah, you can move out a little bit further out and have a better sort of family, a traditional kind of family upbringing, you know, the nice size house, the lawn, the ability to play sports and have a community like that.
And be at home for dinner.
Exactly. But interestingly enough, it's more sustainable. You know, environmental concerns, sustainability are big topics that we're moving into, particularly in Vancouver, but around the world. And buying small places and living in small places is better for sustainability, because it means there's less cost associated with like heating and lights across not only your own house, but across multiple potential groupings of families. And so the costs for units of life, if we imagine a large apartment block, are less than if every one of those groups had their own house. And so in a way, you know, I grew up in houses. I have a very strong connection to that upbringing. But it might be better for the future if people do invest in other small houses or communal blocks like apartments and condos.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great to have small children, obviously, in apartments and things like that. Like,
you run out of space, for sure.
Yeah, and like they can't run around. And like it's certainly more confining and it's not ideal.
But if circumstance necessitates it, then that's just the way it is. I mean, I grew up in a house, but I had three brothers, and at one point, I think we all shared a room together because we just had to be that way. And yeah, you make do, and hopefully you don't kill each other. But it's, you know, the bigger question though of like, are we becoming less concerned with property generationally? I think we are as well. I think, you know, millennials seem to be spending more money on experiences rather than simply material goods. Like, you know, I personally, and I know a lot of friends who don't go out and buy expensive furniture. We buy secondhand or we buy cheap stuff because it's not that important to us. We're not interested in impressing other people. It's funny because we're not interested in impressing people with our things, but we do seem to be somewhat interested in impressing them with our experiences.
In our lives, yeah.
Yeah, with where we're going and what we're doing, and people spend fortunes on those sorts of things. Yeah.
And beyond that, to further your point as well, is that especially these days with the rise in sort of renting, like sort of like, I guess, like rental services, like let's say Ubers and stuff. So you don't need a car anymore because you can get an Uber or Car2Go membership. Like you can rent a car consistently when you need it, like Modo, Zipcar. You can rent music these days if you have a subscription to Spotify or Apple Music or Google Play. There are so many things now, so many items which we would have at once owned, not even huge big items, but material items we would have valued ownership of, like we paid hard money to buy DVDs, this album, DVDs, that are now no longer in the realm of necessity or needing to own, at least in the way the market works at the moment. And so in a way, we're being sort of, I guess, conditioned to let go of some of these ideas of ownership and embrace a bit more of a, not even like a sharing, because especially with digital items, you can make as many as you want. Yeah, the multiplication digital process is not difficult. But I do wonder, yeah, are we just simply moving away from ownership and towards a more communitarian sort of system?
Well, Marx would be proud. All right, that's all the time we have for tonight. Stay tuned for The Ninth Wave is coming up next. And they're doing it live for the first time tonight, so check them out. We will be back next week with a brand new half-hour sketch comedy. I've got the week off, so we're definitely going to have a wicked show next week, hopefully.
It better be.
And, of course, keep up with us throughout the week at White Noise YVR on Twitter and White Noise UBC on Facebook. We're going to leave you with one last track tonight. This is going to be Mundy's Bay with How You Feel. We'll see you very soon.